say to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday.
That's where it stops. Well, he's not the president.
Well, he was 50 years of age on Tuesday. It's a significant milestone. Some would say he may never have got there, but Matthew Johns did, and he's thriving, and he joins us this morning. What a great thrill. Happy birthday, Matty.
Oh, Gaz, Tim, thanks, boys. Yeah, what a thrill, you know, to know that the best years are behind you. It's good. But mate, pretty low-key because of lockdown. Just sitting on the couch drinking, which it was perfect.
Well, it is a big milestone. 50
Huge.
Years of age. It's time to reflect and sit back and where you are in life. And you are going through what we've been through a fair bit here in Victoria, it has to be said. So you wouldn't have been able to do much. That's right.
Nah, very low key. But it's you blokes should know. You know, you tell your kids, but your old man tells you, and you sort of scoff at it, just washes over you. Oh, time goes fast. Like I remember being 8 years of age. I was at Shoal Bay Caravan Park, right? Mm. And it's New Year's Eve, 1979. And my old man was full of the eyeballs, and he's singing Meatloaf's 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And at the time, and he was 28 at the time. And I remember looking at him just going, oh, I'll never be as old as that old bastard. And what I would give to be 28 now.
Hey, Matty Shoalhaven, is that where you used to nick that bloke's canoes?
Yes, old staff. Yes, next door. For people that haven't heard, we had this grumpy old lady that used to be in the caravan next door. And, mate, every time I hit an on-drive when we used to play cricket and the ball would just roll up and touch his annex, mate, he'd just take the ball. Anyway, he used to have his pride and joy, this canoe, the Beeline Wombat. Anyway, I remember one morning he's got there and he's blown up, and I can hear him blowing up to his wife, and she's like, what's the problem? And he said, mate, they've got to do something. They've got to do something about these dogs in the caravan park. Just one of them just keeps jumping in my canoe every night doing a shit.
Tim.
Yes, that was my father. Yeah.
Tell me this. What do you do? Let's move on from that. What are you enjoying at the Olympic Games most? You know, I mean, you've got nothing else to do. So, sitting, you more than anyone else is qualified to give us a perspective and a review of what's taken place so far. What is it that's captured your imagination most?
I tell you what, mate. Like, it's been like before the Olympics, they were talking about being our best Olympics for up to 20 years now since Sydney, and it's shaping up that way, mate. The swimmers around Titmus was just outstanding, and I just think when it comes to the Olympics, particularly the swimming, nothing gives us more joy than beating the Yanks, particularly when the Yanks sprued off beforehand, and so that's been a highlight. A lot of the team sports I really enjoyed. Shame about the Ollie Roos last night getting knocked out, but yeah, mate, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the track and field getting underway. That'd be something special.
Hey, Matty, we were talking about the water polo yesterday, and we had a call from a bloke up in Sydney, actually, who had been listening to our program, and he said that was the best win ever in the pool by an Australian men's water polo team.
Yeah, exceptional. It really, really was. And Steve Roach, blocker, of course, who's a legend of rugby league here with Balmain Tigers, works at Fox Sports now. He's... His son, Liam, is in the side. And, really, it's a fantastic result. I mean, water polo sort of rears its head here every 4 years, of course, when the Olympics are on. But if you go to Eastern Europe, particularly in Hungary, it's their number one sport in Hungary. You go there, and that's where Blocker's young bloke lives. He was living in Budapest for quite a number of years. And really good, mate, really good result.
Tough sport. My male is though, Matty, had your legs just been a little bit longer and had you been able to tread water just a little bit better, you could have been one of the finest water polo players ever to represent the country. Is that right?
Yeah, probably right there, Tim. But, you know, I mean, I had to make a decision at one point, water polo or rugby league. I went to rugby league. But, yes, I represented the Cessnock Seals at the New South Wales Championships. Never actually saw the pool. Went and got on the sauce every weekend. And the coach said, you'll never represent the Cessnock Seals again. And I never did.
Hey, what about the rugby sevens? I mean, should we be doing better than we are? I'm not saying that we're not, but, I mean... I watch that and I think, yeah, we've got such great heritage from a rugby and rugby league point of view. What's the thoughts on that?
Gaz, we just haven't got the depth. So what, I mean, it'd be like in Victoria, you guys, Victoria and South Australia, you guys having a natural competitor. Like if there was another brand of AFL that was out there that was, you know, taking the players. And the bottom line is at the moment, is that, you know, the rugby league has got such depth here, and it's pinching off the rugby union, pinching the young kids coming through. Particularly, it was historically that way, and then when union went professional, swung around the other way for a while. But now, at the last 10 years, rugby league is really, you know, getting all the best kids, and so the depth of talent isn't strong, isn't deep, and then you combine that on top. To play rugby union 15 aside and then play sevens is completely different training. So very often, mate, you don't get them crossing over. You don't generally get a bloke who's playing super rugby and then going to play in the sevens. And so, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, New Zealand and South Africa and those countries like Fiji, that mate, they've got so much depth, and that's where we're handicapped.
Hey, Matty, I know Gary, he doesn't miss a day of a test match here because he wants to hear somebody say bowling Gary over the microphone during a test match. But what about when Thomas Neal channeled you as he celebrated helping Australia to the 4x200 freestyle bronze at the Olympics yesterday? How did you feel?
Well, I got in touch with my solicitor and there's a legal letter in the mail. Mate, it's bizarre. I get people all the time sending me things saying, did you see this? Yeah, did you see this? Did you see the canoeing and blokes? And mate, who would have thought that basically a drunken ramble at 5 a.m. in the morning after winning a grand final would be, how many years later, pullback at the Olympics? Quite bizarre. But as I said before, mate, I've got a copyright on it. And mate, let him just enjoy the moment with his gold medal because, mate, he's going to be hit pretty hard when he gets back.
Let's have a listen. This is, if you've missed this, this is Thomas Neal who anchored our 4x200 metre freestyle efforts at the Olympics. They got bronze. This is what he had to say post-race.
As Matty John said back in 1997, it's better than Lego.
Better than Lego. Was it worthy of re-quoting this so much 20-odd years later?
Well, I remember doing it, right? And poor old Natalie Barr, I run into Natalie sometimes as she had to do the interview, and she still says it's the worst interview she ever had to do because she had to. Anyway, I sort of half remember standing there, and I was trying to find words and I couldn't do it. I don't know where Better Than Lego came from. There was no plan, but it disappeared. I never thought of it. I honestly never thought of it until about 3 years ago. When Brian Fletcher dug it up and showed it. And of course, in this very sensitive world these days, when he showed it, mate, I was horrified because I'd had more than a couple, Tim. And you know how sensitive people are, but people took it in good grace as opposed to basically calling for my head. So,
We know how sensitive people are. We're still getting messages about your canoe story. Now, what about
I apologize. I'd forgotten the ending to that story. I thought it was something else.
you teed up the volleyball that I didn't really want to hit.
What about I've been wanting to talk to you about Craig Bellamy and the fact that he's recommitted to the Melbourne Storm for a year as a coach and then basically doing whatever he wants after that. That would have been a massive blow to a heap of NRL clubs that would have been forever hopeful that they might have been able to get the great man, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cronulla went hard. They're looking to rebuild. Well, they're looking to really build their club up. They've signed a good coach in Craig Fitzgibbon. They wanted to get Craig there, Craig Bellamy, in the role of like a coaching director. But the bottom line with Craig Bellamy is, like he's a coach. You know, I couldn't imagine, like if you're going to be a coach, a lot of when people talk about Wayne Bennett, I should go into a coaching director's role. Mate, they want to coach. Mm. You know, they don't want to sit, you know, above or, you know, beside a head coach. They want to do it themselves. They can have full control. I'll be honest with you. I would have been absolutely shocked if he'd have left the Melbourne Storm, because, I mean, this Storm era and this dominance is his club. And I remember years ago, right? It was about 2000, going into the 2008 season. The Broncos made a real big go at Craig, to the point that Craig was sitting opposite them, I believe, in the interview process. Likelihood that he was going to go to the Broncos and return to Brisbane, where his family were. And at the last second, I think it was the chairman said, and we're just going to let you know that you won't be given the same control that the last bloke has had, meaning Wayne Bennett. Mm. And at that point, Craig went, this will never be my club. Mm. And so he stayed at Melbourne. He'd be happy he did.
Yeah, absolutely right. Hey, yeah, you're in lockdown.
And I will say this, boys, there is another great Craig Bellamy story. Like it, sliding
a canoe one, is it?
No, definitely not. In 2000, boys, I think it was in 2002, the Canberra Raiders needed a new coach. So Craig had played a lot of seasons at the Raiders when they first came into competition. And so they hauled him in for an interview, did the interview. He was really good. They said, really impressed. They said, mate, listen, you've got the job, but tomorrow we've got one more bloke. We owe it to him, Matty Elliott. We're going to give him an interview. But, mate, basically, you know, winking and nod, you've got it, mate. Oh, mate, fantastic. He got a call the next day, and they said, Craig, we're really sorry, but the other bloke was just so good. We're going to give it to him and go back on us. Now, you think about it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it has been, you know, the last 15, 20 years have been really tough ones for the Raiders. And they've, you know, Ricky Stewart's come back and given them a lift, but their supporters must sit back and just think, I mean, what could have been?
How long did the other bloke last?
What was that? The other coach? I lasted, I think, about 2 years.
Jeez. We need a Netflix recommendation, given you've had nothing else to do for the last few weeks. What have you been watching?
Well, boys, it's not a Netflix one. It's on Foxtel. It's an ESPN documentary. It's called The Kings, and it's based off a book. It's a documentary. It's based off a book by a fellow called George Cumbrell, originally wrote. And it's about the four kings of boxing, which is Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearn, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Marvin Hagler. And I sat and watched the first two episodes last night, and it is, I think it's a better doco than The Last Dance. It's insane. I've never seen a better sports documentary, particularly if you like your boxing.
That, The Kings, and it's on Foxtel. So we'll get back. We'll be giving you some feedback on that next week. What do you do today, given that you can't do anything? What do you actually? What's a day today look like for Matty Johns?
You can do a little bit of exercise, and it's a beautiful day here, so I'm going to take the canoe out and have a paddle.
Well, be careful, all right?
Will do.
Thank you so much for joining us.
K1, K2, or K9, Gary?
I don't know. Every Wednesday or Thursday, depending when we can get a hold of him. He's celebrating his 50th birthday, and we love having a chat with him. He's here for Made Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied customers. NBN from just $59. Search Mate Online.